This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London and good afternoon to you.
Good morning, Johnny, and very late good afternoon over at my end in Asia.
Well, let's start with the latest from the markets where you are. And I note that oil prices have risen today. And this seems to be mainly because President Trump's warning to Iran that the quote unquote clock is ticking as talks to bring the war to an end have stalled. And we've seen Brent crude, for instance, up nearly 2% today.
Yes, precisely, Johnny. So market is now pretty concerned about the rising risk of stagflation again. So let me talk about the impact on the global stock market. So we know that at the end of March, market starts to look ahead of the situation between US and Iran and starts to price in a possibility of a peace deal resolution from both of the stakeholder together in some form with Israel. But however, this possibility of the second round of a peace deal talks between US and Iran has virtually now pointed down to a 0% chance. And what's interesting over here is that, yes, we begin to see, as usual, Trump threatening Iran, asking them to come down to the negotiating table again. But Iran did mention something very interesting, is that they specifically stated that even though if the war is to end tomorrow or the day after or 1 week later, they do still want to have some form of control over the Strait of Hormuz. So that's particularly implied that even if the war ends, the normal flow of global oil supply and global energy flow may not resume back to as per normal. So that actually freaked out the market a bit over here, because initially market is looking forward to a very strong earnings growth expectation into the second half of this year, leading by AI optimism, we call it a play as well. But however, this optimism got sucked back late last week, so that stagflation fear causes the longer term global sovereign bond yields to skyrocketed on Thursday and Friday. So on Friday, the US 10-year Treasury yield rose and hit a key inflation level at 4.65%. And the 30-year is now resting just a tad bit below a key inflation level at 5.18%. So if we start to see a tremendous surge past these levels, that means we talk about the 10-year at above 4.65%, the 30-year above 5.18%, that could actually imply a multi-week or even potential a multi-month move of higher longer-term US treasury yield. But that doesn't actually comes down to a demand pull scenario, but that is more likely due to a fears of stagflation risk. And if you look at the spread between the 30-year US treasury yield minus of the 2-year treasury yield, in fact, this spread itself is showing further signs of bear flattening. That means, i.e., the 2-year treasury yield, US treasury yield, is rising at a faster pace than the 30-year. So that actually implies that the Fed going forward into the second half of this year may not even think about trying to cut rates. Because initially, at the start of this year, the Feds are still looking for possibility of a rate cut, but that slowly is being kicked down the calendar. Initially, they're looking at towards around what Q3, Q4 this year, push it down to Q1 next year. But given the situation right now in the Middle East and what's happening between Iran hesitance to reopen the Strait of Hormuz despite if the war has ended, that causes the pendulum to change in the Fed Funds Futures market. So the Fed Funds Futures traders now are pricing in not a rate cut in Q1 next year, but instead of a rate hike coming in the first month of next year to bring the Fed Funds rate back up to that 3.75% to 4%. So market is looking at a chance about close to what 82% chance of it hiking 25 basis points on the first meeting of next year. So that is January 27th.
Kelvin, I wanted to ask you about the UK, because we've had major political turbulence here over the last few weeks, particularly with Prime Minister Keir Starmer under threat of losing his job. We've seen UK government borrowing costs reach a new 18-year high. The pound has fallen. The 10-year bond yield rose above 5.17% at one point on Friday. That is the highest since 2008. And all this because of the political psychodrama that continues to trouble the United Kingdom.
Yes, precisely. So right now, initially, about 2 weeks ago, market is still looking for the sterling to actually strengthen against the US dollar due to some kind of a growing clot within the Bank of England, where there is much more hawkish voice that will overtune those dovish voices. But that particular narrative has been thrown out of the window since early last week, where that has been catalyzed by the political instability within the ruling Labour Party. So what we could see from a technical perspective is that the pound has indeed weakened significantly over last week, where it dropped by negative 2.3%. So the pound was one of the weakest major currency as compared with the US dollar. So with that a drop of a negative 2.3% last week, the sterling pound has now broken below its key 200-day moving average over here. So with this uncertainty that is surrounding the political spectrum in UK, and also there's growing odds that the next incoming prime minister may be much more left-leaning. That means, i.e., he may encourage much more subsidies program to come into play again. That could widen the fiscal budget deficit in UK, potentially leading to a much more fearful of the lack of demand or sell-off in the longer-term UK gilts, therefore pushing up the longer-term UK gilts yield over here. So with that in mind over here, is that potentially we may see some form of near-term weakness on the sterling pound. That means I'm looking at some key support level coming in at 130.10, 128.90. So 128.90 will be this major ascending channel that is linking the higher lows that has been in place since 26th of September 2022 low over here.
Let's now look to the week ahead, Kelvin, and I suppose the standout highlight will be the minutes of the FOMC meeting on Wednesday, and we'll also see some earnings from the world's largest company, NVIDIA.
Yes, precisely. So NVIDIA is being the AI juggernaut. So for sure, its X post-earning share price reaction will have a tremendous feedback loop on those AI / semiconductor related stocks that were the leading performer in this ongoing recovery in the global stock market that took place by the end of March. So that's close about 6 weeks of rally. So what's interesting over here is that market participants will be paying a close attention on what's the revenue and profit guidance of NVIDIA, particularly its demand on its Blackwell chip as well. And also do not forget over here is that during the Trump C summit last week, last Thursday and Friday, there's no clear indication that the Chinese side of the business are looking to buy more this H200 chips from NVIDIA. So very likely that the revenue, sales coming out from China this time around may be lower going forward. But overall, market is looking to hear more about the higher advanced chip, which is the Blackwell. How much demand market participants are looking for, demand from it. And if we start to see a lackluster revenue guidance or a guidance that's rather tepid on this Blackwell chip, that could put the US semiconductor stocks or even the global semiconductor stocks that has been rallying very strongly in the past 6 months with the likes of Intel, with the likes of SanDisk, that is what going about what 30% or so 70% of gain. And that could create a negative feedback loop into the NASDAQ 100, given the fact that now there's facing what I call a valuation threat due to higher longer term global bond yields, sovereign bond yields, that is also being seen on the US Treasury yields as well. And what market will start to digest this week as well will be some tier one leading US economic data as well as the rest of the world, where S&P Global will release their preliminary May PMI data starting from this Thursday over here. Means we will have the release in Australia, UK, Eurozone, as well as US itself. So US market will be paying very close attention to the services PMI, given that services PMI slash services activity has been resilient since the start of this year. And if we start to see a 10-bit number of growth for the services PMI, that could actually reinforce a potential negative feedback loop back into the US market as well. And to wrap up the week, we will have Japan inflation rate data out on Friday, early Asia session at 7:30 a.m. Singapore time. So the core inflation rate market is looking at a slight downtick to 1.7% year on year from the previous March print of 1.8%. But however, if you were to strip out the food and energy, they deem it as core. So for core inflation, market is still expected to hovering above 2% level, so around the 2.3%, slightly below March print of 2.4%. So if the core inflation rate continues to maintain between 2.3% to 2.4% and doesn't slip below 2%, potentially there could not be so much of a significant movement on the dollar yen. So bear in mind that over here is that the dollar yen has speculators in the dollar yen has been warned by regulators not to actually push the yen to a weaker level. Bear in mind that they actually have shown their hand around the 159.50 level, where they intervened in this level around 2 weeks ago. So right now, the dollar yen is actually hovering around at this level right now, pretty much cautious on for sure Japanese authorities to come in to talk down the strength of the dollar yen again.
Kelvin, thanks very much for joining us today. We'll speak to you again next week.
My pleasure, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.